years since I've been here, and some things have changed, so it's nice to have Susie here. And for those of you that I didn't meet when I was here a few years ago, I have learned in my time at Bible Society that I need to tell you where my accent is from, because I want you to concentrate on what I have to say and not how I am saying it. And so those of you that don't know, I'm originally from Kentucky, but I've been in England now for 19 years. So I have a bit of a mix of an accent. And usually when I'm speaking to young people, I try to give them, you know, geography, get them to guess where my accent's from, and no one knows where Kentucky is, so it usually takes a while. And I have found, my girls tell me that the closer I get to an airport, the more American I start to sound. So we're not too far from Gatwick, so who knows what could happen this morning. But the other times is when I get excited. One thing I do get excited about is the Bible, because the Bible can change lives for good. And at the Bible Society, we are on a mission for every man, woman, and child to engage with the Bible. So why do we do it? We do it because we know that when people engage with the Bible, their lives change for good. Not just change, but change for good. And we continually see God's love pouring out in the countless projects that we are committed to. This global commitment we have is here at home and across the world. We are translating the Bible. We are distributing the Bible. We're helping people to relate and make sense of the Bible, as well as advocating for its place in society. Now, the French philosopher Voltaire once said, 100 years from my death, the Bible will be a museum piece. 100 years from his death, the French Bible Society set up their headquarters in his old home. I love that. You see, the Bible is not a museum piece. It is a living, active book containing several books that can shape our lives. But we can't just let it sit at the end of the pew or on a shelf in our home. We have to open it and engage with it. The Bible, banned, burned, beloved, more widely read, more frequently attacked than any other book in history. Generations of intellectuals have attempted to discredit it. Dictators of every age have outlawed it, and some have been executed because they read it. Soldiers will carry it into battle, believing it is more important and more powerful than the weapons that they carry. Fragments of the Bible have been smuggled into solitary prisons and then transformed ruthless killers into gentle saints. But when was the last time you told someone about the Bible? So often we read a good book or we see a really good movie and we share it with our colleagues or our friends, our neighbors, our family. How much of the Bible are you actually sharing with others? Eugene Peterson says, when we submit our lives to what we read in Scripture, we find that we are not being led to see God in our stories, but our stories in God's. God is the larger context and plot in which our stories find themselves. See, we're all on a different journey when it comes to reading the Bible, and different life events can shape that journey. But it's never too late to start your journey. Part of our journey is highlighted in our reading from Luke today. Jesus has developed an energetic and enthusiastic following. He comes to his hometown. He's invited back to read in the synagogue. He reads from Isaiah the prophet. He reverently rolls up the scroll. He then sat in their midst to begin his teaching. Every eye is upon him. You can imagine the atmosphere there. They're sitting, waiting to hear his wisdom. And Jesus says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You can imagine hearing a pin drop. That's it? That's all he's going to say to us? That's all he needed to say. Because in one sentence, he tells them that the year of the Lord's favor really person deeply in love with God and the world, who loves enough to care that the destitute are given good news of healing, that the brokenhearted are comforted, and that those in bondage are set free. Who knows what they expected or thought that they would hear? Maybe they were expecting miracles that morning. Maybe they were thinking that they would be told that the Roman occupation was overthrown. But Jesus' message was not what they expected or what they wanted. A bit later in Luke's gospel, it says, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and put him out of the city. It is entirely too easy for us to hear this story and think, oh yes, that's what happened then. But actually, how much of that is actually what's happening now? How much are we listening to what Jesus has to say? We see Jesus' description of the kingdom of God as having everything to do with something that was 2,000 years ago, and nothing to do with us today, with the power, potential, automation, influence, and efficiency that we have. Jesus' description doesn't work for us any better than it did for those in the synagogue all those years ago. Jesus' ideas are what we want or expect. We too dismiss Jesus. We may not have the wrath, we may not rise up and say that we know better, but how often do we actually do or think that? And by doing that, we do it to our own peril. I think it's time that we start paying attention to what Jesus said. Jesus said the kingdom of God will come when we tell the good news of salvation. We hold in our hands, when we hold the Bible, the most precious gift we can ever be given. But how much of it are we sharing with others? So often we say, oh, someone really should do something about that. We are the church. We are the ones who need to take action. How often are we helping those that are in need? God said the kingdom of God, Jesus said the kingdom of God will come when we set the captives free. When we dare to befriend those who are bound and help them take off their chains of addiction or self-hatred or isolation. When we will show those who are oppressed that there is a way out. And when we help them to hear their stories, give them hope. And the hope that there is can be found in the Bible. Jesus said the kingdom of God will come when we proclaim recovery of the sight to the blind, when we pray with people for healing and expect that they will be healed, when we believe what God wants to do with new things, giving a vision where it is lost, giving insight where there is denial, giving clarity where there is confusion. Luke's gospel is filled with healing and good news. Jesus' compassion for the underprivileged, the marginalized, the people on the fringes. Certainly, this is good news. Certainly, this scripture that God calls us as Christians to fulfill in the needy world around us, to proclaim the good news of salvation, to bind up the wounds of those around us, to listen, to hear, to liberate. We can do it with Jesus. The Spirit of God is upon us. And Bible Society is working hard to take on this challenge with your help. And we are working in places we never imagined that we would be working. It's so exciting to see the growth in China. And for some, it's hard for us to believe that. It's hard to imagine that the Bible is now being printed on a printing press that once printed Mao Zedong's little red book. It's hard to imagine that people would walk 10 or more miles just to get their hands on a Bible for the very first time. It's hard to imagine that there are pastors looking after as many as 44 churches because there's not enough training. But more and more people are coming each and every day to know God, and they're learning about it through the Bible in China. war in Syria has caused death and displacement on an unimaginable scale. In the midst of the crisis, people of all faiths are looking to the Bible for hope. Our focus is to strengthen the church, but we've also discovered an unprecedented demand for the Bible. Our teams in Jordan and Lebanon are bringing the Bible to life in a very special way for refugees that are fleeing the war in the Middle East. Alongside food and other essentials, we're offering Bible-based trauma healing to refugees, helping people of all ages to talk through the experiences they've been through with trained facilitators. Through this program, thousands of refugees are experiencing the Bible in a new way. One story that really touched me was of a mother and her young children. They fled after their apartment next to them had been bombed. And through the time, she told her children it was fireworks, it was nothing to worry about. When they finally arrived in Jordan, they received the trauma healing. And after many sessions, she said to our facilitators that her children were finally able to sleep. What peace they must have finally had to finally be able to sleep. One of my colleagues also was in one of the refugee camps recently and spoke with the refugee. The refugee said, "We were persecuted and harassed. The neighbors changed our garden lights to red to scare us. They poisoned our fruits and vegetables. They injected sleeping gas in our air conditioning. We received small notes with threats. They broke into our house and attacked us. We had to hide in our bathroom for 5 hours. And after all that, they finally fled and abandoned their country. They prayed to God, 'Why don't you help us?' But then the man said to my colleague, 'But in the Bible is where we found our answer to our prayers. In the Gospel, in John 1, 9-14, it says, He gave them the right to be the children of God. And from that, they felt that they were free. They knew they were a child of God. And they said, through it all, they now will never do anything to give up their faith, if they're in danger or what, because they know that they are a child of God. Last year, I had a real privilege of traveling to Eswatini, it's formerly known as Swaziland. And while I was there, I met a young girl. This girl's an orphan. Her parents had died from HIV and AIDS. All the other students in the school we visited, their parents, they were all orphans of HIV. And we Bible Society to provide the school with seeds and chickens and other resources. And this young girl stood up in front of her whole school and all of the guests that were assembled, and she said, "You mean more to us than just friends. You mean the world to us." And she wasn't just talking about me and my colleagues, she's talking about all of you. Because by having a Bible, she knows that there's something else out there for her than what she sees on a daily basis. She knows that she can have hope for a future. And when I was with the children, many people would look at them and think they had very little. But actually, I felt that they were full of God's love and full of passion for sharing the Bible. They hear the Bible, they recite scripture on a daily basis. The Bible is part of their lives. See, when I say the Bible changes lives for good, it really does. There's countless stories on how reading the Bible, engaging with the Bible, can change lives for good. See, at Bible Society, we want everyone to be equipped for every good work. We have access. We don't have to walk miles and miles to open up our Bibles. We don't have to go through danger to get a Bible. We have it readily available, but are we reading it, engaging it with it, and sharing with it with others? So my challenge for you is to open your Bible. And you'll say, "Well, Kristen, I do that. Why did I need to do that?" Then take the next step. Are you sharing it? Are you living out what the Bible says, the message that it gives? There's so much more that each and every one of us can do. Where is your place in His story? What
now examine and place it in context by singing Christ is the world in which we live. John Bell of the Iona community, and the words are very good. Harry, can we go back to the beginning? And Sally, thank you very, very much for leading us through that. But can we just go through and just say the words as a prayer without the music? The music is lovely, but it is one of the slightly wonderful Scottish hymns. So let's just say that to ourselves. Christ is the world in which we move. Christ are the folk we're summoned to love. Christ is the voice which calls us to care, and Christ is the one who calls us here. To the lost, Christ shows us his face. To the undying, he gives his embrace. To those who cry in pain or disgrace, Christ makes with his friends a touching place. Feel for the people we most avoid, strange or bereaved or never employed. Feel for the women, and feel for the men who fear that their living is all in vain. Feel for the parents who've lost their child. Feel for the women whom men have defiled. Feel for the baby for whom there's no breast. And feel for the weary.
one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light,